you have moved often, you may have experienced the gift of learning different lessons from the many churches you have attended. Thanks to my husband's stint in the military and my occupation as clergy, I have belonged to quite a few churches in my time. Each parish has taught me something special. From my childhood church, Christ Episcopal Tuscaloosa, I learned to use the Book of Common Prayer and follow the liturgy. From St. Paul's in Charlottesville, I began to understand what working for social justice had to do with faith. From St. Augustine's in Nashville, I saw how the church could expand its influence far beyond its building. From Epiphany in Odenton, I became convinced that multiracial worship is a vital part of God's vision for the kingdom. From St. John's in Georgetown, I witnessed how scrappiness and determination allows the church to survive and flourish. And from St. Mary's, I learned about simplicity. Simple was the word I encountered on my first visit here and invoked continually through the discernment period. Just enough and no more might be the motto for this congregation's aesthetic and ethos, from the building and grounds to the liturgy to even the program offerings. St. Mary's proves that tall windows and crisp white wood can be as striking as stone and stained glass, that affection for and commitment to a parish can prove as important as innovation in creating a spirit-filled environment, that a few education offerings done really well trump a slew of programs boasting quantity more than quality. You all have shown me that restraint can be its own sort of testimony in an overstimulated, overscheduled world that prizes excess and flashiness over depth. I greatly thank you for that. Circumspection has served St. Mary's well over the years. There is a serenity and peacefulness about this place and about the people within this place that exists few other places. You understand that strife can be sinister, and you allow disagreement to exist within, but not define this parish. You soak up and build upon the natural resources of this campus, its light, its trees, its country charm. You rightfully question whether what works for other churches will work the same way for St. Mary's, because you realize that St. Mary's has its own gifts to offer, and you want to preserve that unique witness. But there's always a but, isn't there? As wonderful as judicious restraint can be, it can come into tension with the Christian message, which can be radical and bold and even crazy. The Christian message is about saying a never-ending yes. Jesus is God's yes to creation. Yes, I am with you. Yes, I love you. Yes, this world matters beyond measure. The parables, as confounding and provoking as they are, invite us to visit them again and again and find new interpretations. Parables, in fact, are characterized by abundance. Their meaning can never be contained or summed up or exhausted. They are the opposite of simple. Take today's story. We have Lazarus, who is the only character in all of Jesus' parables who is given a name. The name matters. Lazarus comes from Eleazar, which means God helps, and foreshadows Lazarus' fate. Society does not come to Lazarus' aid. Neither does the rich man. Lazarus, relegated to the status of the dogs hoping to gather crumbs from underneath the table, found mercy only from animals, a detail in the parable that underscores the painfulness of Lazarus' rejection. The dogs licked his wounds and sought to comfort him. In the earthly life, the rich man was the winner, and Lazarus was the loser. Yet, as is usually the case with the parables, God brings on a reversal. In the afterlife, we find Lazarus by the side of Abraham, sitting with the esteemed fathers of the faith and enjoying God's favor. Now it is the rich man who begs for mercy, and he receives none. In the heavenly life, Lazarus was the winner, and the rich man was the loser. Perhaps the most interesting part of the entire parable follows. The rich man, realizing that he has no hope for himself, begs Abraham to deliver a message to his brothers so that they not suffer the same fate. Abraham, of course, will not. For most of us, this seems a horrifying outcome, inconsistent with our God of love. We cannot easily locate grace within this story, but condemnation abounds. We stand in the place of the brothers, after all, do we not? We have received the witnesses of past prophets, the living example of Jesus, and the messages of faithful followers over the millennia. God's desire that we love the neighbor and care for those without is not new. We know this information, and that is the point that the parable makes. The rich man already knew, and the brothers already knew. They just chose to ignore what they knew. This is a stewardship text, and the lectionary chooses to present this story at this point in the church year to set the stage for stewardship season. Stay tuned. The spotlight on wealth is no accident, but Jesus cares about more than money here. Indeed, much of his ministry focuses upon wealth, redistributing goods so that all have enough on earth and need not wait until the afterlife to find security. Jesus's challenge pushes further, however. His question is urgent. What do you do in the here and now? Time is of the essence, and Jesus asks you to do his work right now. Not a month from now, or a year from now, or a decade from now. Following Jesus happens in every moment. That is the sin of the rich man and the brothers. Not simply their callousness to the plight of Lazarus and the poor among them, or their cockiness that their worldly status and connections would secure their eternal future, but their disregard for the direness of God's call. What could be more important than God's work? Nothing. Everything else could wait, should wait. Jesus calls us to say yes, and quickly and wholeheartedly at that. We know what to do. When we see the homeless man at the traffic intersection, give him a granola bar. When our pen cannot seem to form all of the zeros that we think we would like to put on our pledge card or donation slip, but cannot muster up the guts to do so, dare to try it, at least just this time. When we see a stranger fall down, we need not hesitate even that half a second, waiting for others to spring to action. We are the ones who are called to lift up the stranger. We might say this, Jesus' message is simple, but not subtle. When Jesus asks, and he is always asking, say yes without hesitation or reservation. Amen.